The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you. This is the 9 till noon show. It's Donald Kavanagh with you until 12 noon today. A lot to happen on the show this morning, lots lined up for you. But as we always say, the centrepiece of this show is your views and your contributions. You can text us on 086 60 25000. You can use that number for WhatsApp messages as well. You can call us on 074 91 25000, 00353 749 125000 if you're outside of the dialing area. We're on social media, of course, at Highland Radio on Twitter, Highland Hub on Facebook. And don't forget, you can watch the show unfold on Facebook as well. Our Zoom guests will be there for you to see in Technicolor. And you can follow the show there also on our YouTube channel. That's Highland Radio Ireland on YouTube. And you can also follow us, of course, live on our website, highlandradio.com. And don't forget, over the course of the day on highlandradio.com, all the new stories will be placed on the website too as they happen. So that'll be updated on a regular basis by Donna Marie and later by Michaela over the course of the day. So always do keep an eye on the website. There is always new material appearing there as well as across our other social media channels. Let's start on this Wednesday morning. It's going to be a windy one, we're told. Not quite yet, but it's coming, I'm sure. It was quite breezy out there last night, actually. The front of the Donegal Post this morning: industrial road confusion causing congestion. While Bundoran, Rosnalla and Donegal Town feature regularly on the tourist trails at the start of the Easter period, traffic through Killybegs was backlogged over the holiday weekend. Councillor Niamh Kennedy believes this is because there is a modern road which passes much of the congestion flashpoint, but because it's called the industrial road, it is confusing people and people aren't using it when perhaps it might be the better option to use. We might do a bit more on that later on in the programme. We'll be speaking about road conditions in the Letterkenny and West Donegal area as well, and around about the Clonmacnoise area too, because a lot of traffic and a lot of tailbacks over the past 2 days in Donegal. Great to see it. Great to see the tourist traffic and great to see the business coming in. But those tailbacks, we will be discussing those a little bit later on the programme. Inish Times this morning: dozens of objections to Glenealy quarry plans. Declan McGee writes that objections have been lodged by locals against plans to develop a quarry and concrete batching plant near Glenealy. The proposed development is to supply local builders, farms and the community with local stone and concrete. It would see 20 journeys a day by heavy commercial vehicles. And more on that in the Inish Times. Also, inside there's a story on Mica Action Group, Anger at Spending, and all the other news from Inish Yone available there as well. Finn Valley Voice this morning: Father Kevin needs funds for African projects. Eastern Rollerborn missionary priest has appealed for funds to help him in his ongoing projects in Africa. Father Kevin O'Hara has worked in Nigeria for over 40 years, where he's a staunch defender and promoter of human rights. And in fact, I was saying to Caroline, unless I'm very much mistaken, on my very first day of work on Highland Radio in September 1990, the very first person I interviewed that day on an old reel-to-reel tape recorder hooked up to a telephone was the selfsame Father Kevin O'Hara. My very first interview, unless I'm very much mistaken, was with Father Kevin. So it's great to see he's still going strong and seeking people's help. Moving on to the Nationals this morning: Irish Independent, Biden touches down with pledge of cash to end Brexit standoff. The US President challenges the DUP to get back to work after Stormont deadlock. President Biden will promise fresh economic supports for Northern Ireland today on condition that there is a restoration of power sharing at Stormont. The British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is expected to respond by offering to host an international economic conference on Northern Ireland in September. The government here is also set to make a financial contribution, as will the British and the EU governments. But all this will be contingent on there being an adoption of the Windsor framework and the establishment of an executive with Michelle O'Neill of Sinn Féin as First Minister. Also, days of mourning lie ahead for Galway crash teens. The first funeral for two teenagers killed in a horror road crash in Galway will be held on Friday. The shattered communities of Annadown and Headford will come to a standstill this week and pay their respects as 14-year-old Kirsty Bowen is laid to rest. Her fellow pupil Lucas Joyce from Annadown, who also died will be buried afterwards. Now, the Irish Times this morning, Biden to stress benefits of Belfast agreement in keynote address. A US president to begin four-day Irish visit with speech in Belfast. He's not expected to twist arms over Stormont restarting, but he will hail the tremendous progress made since the Belfast agreement was signed and emphasise Washington's readiness to preserve those gains and boost Northern Ireland's economy. Interesting, two slightly different interpretations of the same indications coming from the Biden camp. The Times saying, oh, it'll be very low-key, he'll not be twisting arms. The Independent phrasing it as, well, you know, you won't get the money if you don't actually get Stormont back up and running. So it's interesting the way the same mood music can be interpreted in different ways. Also on the Irish Times this morning, fatal crash survivors to be interviewed. Mobile phones found at Headford scene may offer insight into how car struck tree. Gardaí investigating the County Galway road crash that claimed the lives of Lucas Joyce and Kirsty Bone. Our hopeful interviews with the two survivors, also young teenagers, will help them piece together how the crash occurred. Now, the Irish Daily Mail this morning is its main headline. Fears that online dare led to crash that killed teenagers. Gardaí examined possible link to social media. Ian Begley and Garth McNamee write that a Gardaí investigation into the deaths will examine if a social media challenge played a role in the tragedy. And you can only hope that it didn't, because you hear stories over the years about various social media challenges which have not ended well, and we can only hope that that was not the situation in this instance. Front of the Irish Daily Star this morning, main headline, Joe Brawley. And no, it's not the ex-Derry footballer and a GAA pundit. It's a rain-soaked reception for Biden as Air Force One lands. We see Joe Biden getting off Air Force One and a Brawley being held aloft to protect him. Also, tributes to tragic crash teens. Front of the Irish Daily Mirror this morning, a similar photograph of Air Force One on the tarmac at Belfast International Airport. Here we go is the headline. Joe Biden was all smiles as he touched down in Belfast last night to begin his four-day visit to Northern Ireland. The US President grinned as he left Air Force One and met with the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak on the tarmac before entering the Beast, which is the nickname given to the limousine in which he is travelling. And the front of the Irish Sun this morning, taken away too young. These are the teens who died in a crash on Easter Monday. Pictures of Lucas Joyce and Kirsty Bohan, both of whom were killed when the car in which they were travelling with two friends hit a tree outside Headford in Galway. Minister Jack Chambers said it was a tragedy to have young people's lives lost. It has, he said, shocked the nation. Also on the front of the Irish Sun, steak knife dies in UK. The British Army's top IRA mole has died, aged 76. Freddie Scapatici, a.k.a. Steak Knife, was buried near his home in England. He had been linked to dozens of murders, the story says, and that's on the inside of the Sun this morning. So that's the way the papers are looking here on the 9 till noon show on this Wednesday morning. Don't forget, as I said, you can watch the show unfold on Facebook or our YouTube channel, and a number of people are already doing that. And good morning to Michael, to Annie, to Audrey and to Paul, all of whom are tuned in on Facebook this morning. Now, sometimes when we listen to the Community Garda slot and we hear of incidents of criminal damage where a stone was thrown at a house or something was done, and sometimes we can maybe think, oh, it's not all that serious. But for the person who's in the house, it can be a very serious issue indeed, and it can be a very worrying issue. Let's go to line one and talk to Mary. Mary, good morning. Hello, Mary.
Hello there. Hello, good morning. What it is, I heard it been mentioned yesterday. I live in Bunkrana, and I heard that McGinn Avenue, there was young people banging on doors, and I don't mean banging, trying to kick in doors. So one of them, of course, the guard had to go out and warn this person, and not mention any names or who the... So that was... I don't know what happened there, but it did happen. I want people to believe that it did happen. And then I live in a wee place, lovely wee place called Millfield. And never, I lived in my home for about 20 years, never had any bother. And I've had kids here years ago, and they had fun. They grew up with me. And all of a sudden, there's that one of them certain boys that was banging on them doors in Millfield is up here. Now, what I had to suffer for 2.5 months, somebody on my window, somebody banging at somebody at my back, my bedroom window, and I don't know, and then it went on for a solid 2.5 months. And I spoke to the one parent, no, it wasn't his son, it has nothing got to do with this here. And it has to be stopped. It's antisocial behaviour.
Yeah.
Now, my advice to people who it happened to, please report it to the guards. You're not too late. Report it to the guards, even if you want to go to the guard station. Give them your name and whatever, and let them, they will deal with it. They will deal. But the thing that happened to me, I needed proof. Now, these boys are girls.
And I know you had thought about maybe putting a camera in, Mary, but that's going to be very, very expensive, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It's the wee hoods and the wee mini gangsters. I hate to say that, but that's, at the moment, that's what we've got. Now, it's like a takeover. It's like blackmail, bullying, and it's been led away. But now I hear, I was... was told this, and for definite, the same young man was down the back. He battered at people's doors. He battered at the glass to get in to search the people's house.
And you do believe that this is people trying to break into the house? This isn't teenagers having what they would regard as fun. You believe this is sinister?
The guards, to be honest, have been brilliant. Now they've come up here, Vanguard. We thought they were going to be able to move in at one stage. And they were coming up, doing their work, doing their best. And these boyos were hiding, but not on behind bushes. They were running to houses that they knew, and they thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Now, if this can be stopped before it goes any further. Now, I know with me, it happened for 2.5 months. And this is what, now, if it had met me to put in cameras, which I've never had to do.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening. Now, can you imagine a teacher in the school trying to teach these young men, or I wouldn't call them young men, and that teacher has to put up with it? It has to stop.
Yeah. In terms, you're on your own in the house. Is there any way you can maybe...
Yes, I am, for definitely. I'm a pensioner.
Are there any friends or relatives that you could maybe, even for one night, bring to the house with you? Because I know you're not talking about staying up all night.
I had to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a few people, friends, good friends, and they came up and done, and what I was doing, they told me, I phoned the Garda, and they came up, and... still, but the young man's face was caught this time. I think he'd done 4 or 5 houses.
Yeah.
He just batted at the ground. And with mine, I wouldn't let him in the house.
Yeah, of course.
I'd seen his face. And he thought I was going to open the door and let him in that frame of mind.
Yeah. Well, all I can say, Mary, is, you know, we obviously hope that the Gardaí will be able to take action on this and that this will stop. Because,
I mean,
you know, you deserve peace in your own home. You deserve rest in your own home. And you deserve more than anything else. You deserve a good night's sleep.
And you know what? It's very scary.
Yeah.
First time it happened to me, I got up and I stayed up all night. It happened another night and I sat trying to catch the person. And, they come with these hoodies over them.
Yeah.
And now what they're doing, they're wearing the COVID mask. They're using it for another reason.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything. I don't even mix with this young flower or anything like that there. So I don't know what's going on. It's about time, with the guards, and we can go to a resident, you know, and do this. But you can't. They're like we mini gangsters, and I know this goes on in Dublin, but if we can stop it in Bunkerana before it gets any worse, we can do it.
Well, we wish you well in that, Mary, and it's good to know that you're in touch with the Gardaí, and it's good to know that the Gardaí are helping as much as they can. Yeah.
And there's one vanguard I can't name, of course, and she's brilliant. She is just going above her duty, her work, and she comes.
And I know there are so many Gardaí in the community in all stations who actually act like that, and it is great to see. Mary, we wish you well, and hopefully they will get to the bottom of this, and it will end.
But listen, thank you for ringing, because this phone call may help other people that is happening in Bunkerana. All they need to do is go forward to the guards, give the.
Well, we certainly hope it does, Mary. And as I say, we wish you well.
I hope it does. I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as I said, we wish you peace and we wish you a good night's sleep. Mary, you take care of yourself. Okey-doke,
thank
Mary.
You very much for letting me on once more.
It is absolutely our pleasure. And hopefully, as you say, if this can lead to some respite and if this can lead to some progress being made, all the better. Mary, you take care of yourself. That's Mary there speaking to us from Bunkerana. Now, let's go to line two and to a lady who has made some of the best music ever to come out of this island. But she wants to talk about the decline of the Irish language since 1800. Mairead Ní Mhaoine of Alton, Maidhinneoir.
Maidhinneoir,
could you Mairead Ní Mhaoine? A pleasure to speak to you. Few people do more than yourself to actually promote Irish language, Irish culture on local, national and international stages. And people are now learning in school Irish almost as an academic subject. And there's a long discussion about this. We noticed the discussion about should Irish remain a subject right up to leaving cert that's compulsory, and we'll get to that in a moment. But one of the things you're concerned about is that there now is a marked difference between what's taught in school and the actual tradition of Gaeilge and the richness of the Irish language and the Irish culture.
Well, it's not even that. It's the native language speakers. That number is declining. And, you know, when I was a teacher many, many moons ago, I remember looking at the actual syllabus that I was teaching in primary school, and it was so far removed from reality. You know, when you're trying to entice young children to learn a new language, it always has to be very attractive. The actual images have to be attractive, you know, if they're looking at a book or if they're looking at a movie or whatever. It has to be all colour and say, you have to learn this language. But what I noticed was it was so far removed and so archaic. So I used to put the syllabus to one side and used to teach the children or tell them jokes in as Gaelicia. And They were all saying to me, "I thought you weren't allowed to actually laugh in Irish." You know? So it was a very strange one for me coming from the Gaeltacht, and all we did was laugh.
Yeah.
So it's just a type of mindset, and I think it has to be taught in the proper way as well.
It has to be taught as a living, spoken, day to day language, not as an academic subject.
Well, I think you should people should be allowed to have books as well if they want to read books or whatever. But it should be taught in a very attractive way to make it open for young people to realise that this is their language. It's not something foreign from way over on the West Coast, you know. What's happening in the cities is that it is getting more popular, but the real old way of thinking in the Gaelic way is dying, because if you look at where all the Gaeltachts are, we're kind of on the west coast. Our next step is in the water.
Yeah. And they are, by and large, coastal communities. You're actually quite correct in saying that. Is there, and I know there's a big revival with the Gael Scullina and the Gael Coláiste, and, you know, it is coming up, and in cities all over the country and in towns all over the country, we have the Gael Scullina, we have the Gael Coláiste. But one of the worries, perhaps, is that whereas they're speaking and using Irish in those schools, they aren't maybe connecting to that tradition that you refer to. I mean, how big an issue is that?
That would be the issue at all. I think if they're speaking it, that's well and good. But it's the richness of thought, which is where our English writers got their poetic way of writing. You know, even Joyce and Heaney and all of those people, they all claim that the richness of their English language, the Hiberno English that they had, that's what made them famous. And they're like, we have some of the best renowned English writers in the world, but it's all based on the rhythm of the Irish language and the way, the poetic way things are described in Gaelic, you know. And that's what I don't want to lose.
Yeah,
I love the idea of children in Belfast and Dublin and Cork and all the big cities speaking in Irish. It is a different Irish, but that's evolution. That's how language evolves. But I would also like that the native speakers and the Gaeltacht areas wouldn't die, because it's so important to keep that the well alive as well.
Do you think in Irish?
I do.
No, because
I have to stall in English.
Yeah, I ask that for a very specific reason, because I think that really is the key to language. And I think this is something that you're getting at here that's really important. I mean, I have, and I will be honest, I did my Leaving Cert in 1981, and what Irish I did in school up to 1981, that's the Irish I have. And if I ever try to speak, and I do occasionally try to speak Irish during Seachtain na Gaeilge or whatever, but what I will do is I will think in English, I will translate what I'm thinking into the best I can do with my 40-year-old Leaving Cert Irish. I will recite that 40-year-old Leaving Cert Irish, and then if I have a hope in hell of understanding what comes back to me, very often if I listen to an Nook, I'll know it's something about something that happened in Dublin and something was stolen, and I will get the gist of what happened, possibly, but I will still be in my head, I am translating. Whereas someone like yourself, who's grown up in the Gaeltacht, is actually thinking in the Irish language, and that's really what we're at risk of losing.
Yeah, well, I still think, you know, anybody with a second language, like when I'm in France, I have to think in Gaelic or in English, the way I learnt the language, and translate. And that's how you do it. But then you immerse yourself. If you're really committed to the language, you immerse yourself. You go down to Glen Columkill, to that fantastic course they have down there in Idris Gael, like all our presidents have done. And you immerse yourself in the language, and the people come out of there. I've met people in Japan and America that actually went to Idris Gael and were like native speakers. They were incredible. But, you know, for people to learn like that, you have to be totally committed.
Yeah.
And you have to totally immerse yourself in the whole language, and just a good way if you haven't the chance to go to Glen Columkill to an adult course like that, or to Tory Island or places that have adult courses, is to have young children who are speakers, who are Gaelic speakers, converse with them, because people aren't as self-conscious when you're talking to children, and children usually correct you if you're wrong, and you don't feel so bad if it was an adult, we'll say. So a good way is to chat to children or to little ones who have the language off by heart and will have fun with it. I think, you know, people have so many, I think Irish people in general have this awful inferiority complex when they think of the Gaelic language. They think, oh, it's to do with poverty, it's to do with this. And, you know, this historical baggage has always been there. And a lot of the Gaeltacht areas, if you come to West Donegal, the biggest opposition to the language is at the edge of the guilt. That's where people say, oh, I don't speak that language. You know, they deny their language, which is very sad because they are just one generation away from it being dead, you know, and it's up to them to keep it alive. But, you know, that's up to people's personal choice, of
I suspect I'm typical in many ways, and I'll tell you where I am, and I'll give you just a little bit of my background and invite you to comment on it. I have a regret that I don't speak Irish, that I don't. As I said, I have what little bit of the Leaving Cert Irish I had from 1981, whatever I've retained, that's what I have. I will very occasionally, I remember years ago, Sianna Campbell, the broadcaster, did a programme on RTE Radio 2, as it was called at the time, 2FM now. And she did a rock programme in the Irish language. And I listened to that because she was playing the music I liked. Ronan McAwee, and we send our best wishes to Ronan. I know he's not in a great place at the moment. Ronan, through the NUCT service on Rally in the Gulf, is doing something very similar and is coming to people like me and bringing the language to us, playing the music that we want to hear. You know, so you've got people like that. But by and large, my perception of Irish, particularly as a teenager, was it was a thing that was being forced on me in school. I had basically Peg Sayers and Tóraíocht Dhiarmaidh Corona. They were the two books we had.
And
Peg Sayers said nothing to... I mean, and I can understand and appreciate it now. In my late 50s, I can look back and say, yes, Peg Sayers is a really important document of Irish life. The 14, 15-year-old Donal did not appreciate a bit of it. And as for the Tóraíocht,
I know.
You know, I had no conception of that culture.
That's for an older person to appreciate. Well, I think there should be young literature for young people to entice young with their... What they're interested in, the rock music or whatever kind of music or outdoors activities or stories about, you know, what's happening now. It should be more maybe urban based as well, because most of the population is in the urban area. And also, I think young children in the Gaeltacht areas would appreciate that because they like going to Dublin, to Belfast, to Derry, to, you know, and they would understand that situation as well. Make it a modern language. Write the modern literature. Make the themes and, you know, make them, you know, real for the 14-year-olds and the 15-year-olds. And make it fun as well and attractive and you know, maybe discuss serious issues like drugs and, you know, all that stuff that's in their minds at the moment. You know, you can't talk about Peg Sayers or Tóraíocht Dhiarmaidh an Gréine. That's completely going back, and that has nothing to do with today's life. Although maybe when they if they want to study it later on, they can have the choice of those amazing books. I love those books myself, I have to say.
And, the interesting thing, you know, I read the Tóraíocht in English when I was in my 20s and found it fascinating. Yeah. But when I was 15,
it's
no.
No, well, I mean, this is the thing, you know, it has to be age appropriate no matter what, and make it as enticing as possible. I have to say that any time I've been to Colasha Ely in Letterkenny or any of those Gaelic speaking schools, primary schools as well, there's a huge high percent, you know, huge, what would I say, just fantastic Gaelic. When I speak to the children there, I went in playing music and they had a fantastic grasp of the language and were very, like, the future is in their hands, you know, in the young people that are speaking it.
And I think what I've always loved too is the Coláiste in Galway that do the Irish language version of Avicii songs and Ed Sheeran songs.
Oh, yes.
No, they'll never be quite as good as Donal Agus Mórdach, I have to say, but it's really great to hear that.
No, and we do have our own version of that. We have Emma Erishke, who sings, you know, she does loads of lovely cover versions of songs. And I think it's really important to have that kind of youthful energy as well. And you have the Keelas of this world who kind of play world music and sing in Gaelic. and Liam O'Mainley, and there are so many young people, even Imelda May.
Yeah.
She really loves her language. I think when you leave home, you realize that we have this beautiful language that has and gives us such a lovely identity and sets us apart from other English-speaking nations when you are, we'll say, in Europe or in Asia or Australia. You know, you can say, well, we have our own language and our own way, you know, and it's really important for identity as well.
The discussion at the moment about whether or not Irish should remain a compulsory subject in the Leaving Cert, where do you sit on that particular debate?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it should be taught in primary school in a nice way and again, bring the children along rather than pushing it on them. But that's, I think, happening in primary school. But secondary school, life becomes difficult for children. And I think maybe up until the junior cert, yes, and then after that, make choices. And, of course, you know, myself, if I had to learn a second language, I don't think I'd do very well. You know, I struggle with French and German when I'm away. But it's just some people have a knack to learn languages, other people don't. So I think there should be a choice after junior cert.
How significant is it that whenever you go to a different Gaelic or a different part of the country, you're going to hear completely different pronunciations? Because my father, God rest him, he's passed away since, but when my daughter was young, one of the things my dad used love doing was get her to say the Our Father. Because the way she would say the Our Father, having been raised in Donegal, versus the way we would say it, having been raised in Waterford, you would swear they were two different languages.
And what
my dad heard, what he heard was Arnar Tarnyai. That's what he heard. Whereas we would be saying Arnahar Tarnav Gnefer Danam Gadagadriak Gnefer Dahalar and Talov. You know, and we're all the MHs as far as we're concerned. And I came up here and people were talking about Ní Fadhrig. And I was wondering why do people want to wash Patrick? I mean, you know, it's, which is what I would, if you said to me Ní Fadhrig, I would say wash Patrick. Who's Patrick? That is the reality, you know.
You see, this is what's so great with RNG and TG Cahir now is that we are all listening to all the different dialects. And, you know, I understand most people down south and, you know, because I listen to Radio in the Gaeltacht every day. My work actually brings me to all these Gaeltacht areas and I'm able to converse. And to me, I just retune my ear again. But yes, there are huge differences. But in any language, there is a dialect difference. And if you go to France, the same thing happens. Or if you go to if you go to any other, you know, country in you know, in the world, that's a large country. There will be dialect differences. But you know, it's a matter of tuning in and not seeing it as an obstacle. Just say, well, I'll just tune in here and try and figure out what they're saying.
I know the estimate is that there's probably in the region of about 170,000 native speakers in the country at the moment, and maybe 10% of that, 17,000, in Donegal. Now, given the Gael Scullin and the Gael Coloshti, and as you've said, Coloshta Ali and Letterkenny, and you get a very positive vibe whenever you go there. Are you hopeful that we're going to turn a corner here and that we will see a revival in Irish, not just in terms of people learning the language as an academic subject, but people getting into Irish and actually using the language on a day-to-day basis, and to get back to what we were talking about earlier, actually thinking in Irish?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a big step from appreciating the language to thinking in Irish. But I think people have to open a bit and say, you know, why are they against the language? Like, I don't know any other country who's against Irish language except here in Ireland. When I go to England, they just want to, like, if I'm in the BBC, they want to hear Gaelic. They never ask me to sing in English. Well, if I went to RTE, they say, oh, maybe you should sing an English song. You know, we lose the numbers if you sing in Irish. That's ridiculous, you know.
It is.
If you had Ali Farkatura in singing African, would you say the same to him? Please don't sing those songs that you sing. You know,
yeah.
He sings African, African language. So, we have to just change our mindsets and just appreciate what we have and let the speaker speak the Gaelic. And if you like the language, say it. And if you don't like the language, just try and open up to it a bit and learn a few words, because you're not talking about a language. You're talking about a way of thinking. You're talking about your psyche in even the English language. If we lose this language, we lose so much of our own identity. We become English people or American people, because that's what we're looking at, you know, on TV all the time. English, English, English. There's hardly any Irish on it. And we just need to think of who we are and what we're doing, you know.
Marinny Winnie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Go to Mahagath, and hopefully your words will inspire people and perhaps inspire me to maybe sit back and get more into and expand on what's in deep in my mind from all those 50 years ago. Marinny, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Great. Thank you very much, though. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Good.
That's Marinny Winnie there of Alton, of course, one of the, absolute ambassadors of Irish culture and Donegal culture, and making a very good point there indeed in terms of the decline of the language since 1800. But hopefully with the Gael Coláiste and with the Gael Scoileanna and with that new sort of appreciation, we will see a revival, and maybe there's a challenge to all of us, myself more than anyone. Let's take a break. Were you in a car driving around Letterkenny yesterday, or indeed over the course of Monday or yesterday, driving anywhere in the vicinity of Dunfanaghy, Chrysla, Downings, Carrigart, that general area of Clonmacnoise and East Donegal, heading toward the west? If so, I'll bet you were caught on a tailback, because we saw bank holiday tailbacks longer, I think, than we've ever seen them before. In terms of time, we are well used to having huge bank holiday tailbacks on a bank holiday Monday at 5 to 6. I mean, as I said once, I would not attempt to drive out of Letterkenny on a bank holiday from about 4 o'clock onwards in the afternoon. I would just stay home, and either stay home or go elsewhere in the county and stay there until 7 o'clock, because you're trying to drive in Letterkenny on a bank holiday Monday at 6. Stand clear, especially if you're trying to head out the four lane, heading out toward Derry and Northern Ireland. However, it seems that this weekend we saw more of that for a much longer period. Let's go to Zoom and speak to the Mayor of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District, Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly. Donal, good morning.
Good morning, Donal, and good morning to all your listeners.
You spoke about this at length at a municipal district meeting that took place yesterday afternoon. In fact, it was noticeable that the meeting was due to start. Quite a number of members were actually late arriving to the meeting because they were stuck in traffic.
Yeah, Donal, you're 100% correct. And I suppose, listen, you could say, the motion I had forward, you could say in one way it was timely, but in another way, this was going on far, far too long. And I mean, you're 100% correct, Donal. There was actually 4 or maybe 5 councillors yesterday where we had the I had to delay the meeting, and they're stuck in traffic, and I was one of them going from the Glenswilly side, and I know there's councillors coming from the Elton side, and what was alluded to yesterday, a trip that usually would take 5 minutes from the golf course and 35 minutes, you know, and that's absolutely shocking. It's shocking what is going on in the town at the minute, and, you know, I'm eager to get resolved, because like, we are local representatives. We are getting it in the ear, and right to show, people is absolutely fed up. They're watching of what's going on in Letterkenny at the minute. And Donal, it's come to a stage, you know, that, you know, I hate saying it, but I feel at the minute that our traffic management system is failing, and something needs to be done. And that's the reason that I put a motion forward yesterday, Donal, because I want the NTA, TIA, Senior Roads Management for Donegal County Council and Design, I want them all around the table where we can clash heads and come up with a realistic solution to addressing this ongoing issue in Letterkenny, because we can't stand back and let it continue, Donal. Because, you know, I've also been contacted by business owners in the town that, you know, they're suffering. Businesses are suffering.
And it's shocking, and it's all down to the traffic management. You know, the tailbacks of traffic is absolutely shocking. And there's people actually have made aware, going across the border, the shop, instead of coming in to their own local town in Letterkenny. And I mean, when you hear stories like that going on, it's dire. Like, and we need to sit down as a council, as our local authority, Donegal County Council, along with the MTA and the PAI and road design, and see how we address this going forward, because I say it's getting worse.
For the past 15 to 20 years, the panacea, what's been regarded as the cure to all our ills, has been the mythical Bonaghy Link and the second bridge across the Swilly. And the thought process has been that once you can get that second bridge across the Swilly, you'll take a lot of traffic out of Letterkenny Town Centre. You'll get traffic moving a lot more smoothly coming in from that Remelton site, depending on where, obviously, you actually put the bridge. And I know there's differing views between different councillors as of whether that bridge, the Link Road, should be closer to the Remelton side or closer to the Letterkenny side. And that's going to be an ongoing debate, I suspect. But, I mean, is it that simple to say that the answer to the tailbacks we saw yesterday, and that was the first time I recall it really stretching into a Tuesday as much as it did. The Bank Holiday Mondays, I said, Bank Holiday Monday at 6 o'clock. Yeah, that's been a feature for years, every Bank Holiday Monday. But that was the first time I saw it stretch, and I, at lunchtime, most days, I drive from the mountain top down into the town centre because it's where my office is. And, you know, I had not seen tailbacks like I saw yesterday, driving down, and I went home for a quick sandwich before going to the meeting. And yeah, it was, what should have taken me 5 minutes took me about 15. And we're told that the second bridge will solve everything. Is it that simple, or is it going to be more complicated than that?
It's never that simple. What we have at the minute, the end of the scene is not working. We definitely need a bridge, and I mean, I've been lobbying there recently about Bonaghy Link and the bridge over the Swilly. And it has to happen. It has to happen. And for Bayer's two bridges, the Glen Swilly side, if you like, of the Kenny as well, to alleviate traffic congestion there. You know, this is something we have to be looking into in the future. And I mean, people are saying Bonaghy Link and the bridge over the Swilly for years. And I mean, it has been talked for years, and I'm not that long in the council, Donald. Maybe going on my third year here, but it's something that I'm eager to put as much pressure as possible on to try and get this project started.
Yeah.
Because it's a must, you know. And as much as, like, listen, when you see traffic coming into Letterkenny, there's a good side to it too. You welcome visitors, and you know they're going to spend money within Donegal, not just Letterkenny, but Our holiday resorts as well, if you like, the likes of the Downings and Kerry Gart and down around Fannadon. I mean, what we have to offer here is second to none. And it's great to see people coming in, but we have to have a roads facility to cater for that. And at the minute, we don't have that.
Yeah.
And what is happening, Donald, is people, they're coming in here, surely, holiday makers, and they're spending a lot of pound, which is great. But it's going to come to a stage where they're not going to want to come near it. I mean, who wants to sit in traffic a 5 minute journey for 35 minutes or an hour, whatever it may be?
Yeah.
And another factor, Donald, is God forbid if there had been an accident, emergency services needed at a home. You know, anything at that example, where were they going to go? How were they going to get there? And I mean, if someone calls for emergency services, they need them pronto. You know, and they don't have an hour to wait. And there's circumstances where they haven't minutes or seconds to wait. You know, and this is something that we need to be addressing to get the road network feasible and working, and have their businesses back up and running the way they should be within Letterkenny Town as well.
Yeah, it was noticeable. Having attended the meeting yesterday myself, I mean, it was noticeable. I would say probably a minimum of 33% of the meeting yesterday was taken up with discussion on roads and road links and connections in and around Letterkenny. At least 33%, if not more.
Yeah, you're correct. Like, as I stated yesterday at the meeting, there was three different motions there. The traffic congestion. You had Councillor Bradley that brought in about the local transport, the bus, town bus. And then you had Conshure, McMonagall had a motion forward about Wendy Hall, and which Conshure Kieran Brogan has been highlighting time and time and time again. And I mean, Conshure Brogan actually assaulted in a meeting with ourselves, the councillors, and the roads engineer, supervisor, and roads design out on Wendy Hall. And, you know, places like that need addressed. And, you know, that was a very informative meeting to get out on the ground and see firsthand, and especially for our roads people to see firsthand what we're taking to the table, what the people we represent, you know, want addressed. And, you know, it's very important that we do that and continue to do that. And emotions like that coming forward on the one meeting, I mean, it stands to sense there's a massive, massive issue that needs addressed here. And, you know, myself, as mayor of Letterkenny Milford Municipality, I want to see these addressed. Yeah. I want to see the town. I mean, we are talking about Letterkenny turning it on in years to come to a city status. I mean, we have the ATU there at the minute, a fantastic university, you know, and we're struggling with accommodation, we're struggling with housing, we're struggling with roads. I mean, it's shocking. It is absolutely shocking, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, we need to sit down around the table and clash heads here. Like, and have, I suppose, if you like, the senior management, take on board exactly what we want done and what the people out there that we are representing, that is left on the phone and calling us with their concerns and issues, looking for them addressed. We need to get these people around the table, sit down, clash the heads, and come up with a realistic plan.
Because,
yeah, as I say, and I've stated time and time again, it's simply not working.
I mean, and I can tell you the comments are coming in. You're talking about the same thing, traffic, but no answers. Ask the councillor, what's the solution? We'd love to hear it. You're talking about the same thing. You talked about it last year. You'll be talking about it next year. Another caller says, stop putting in all the extra traffic lights. Another caller saying that four-lane into Letterkenny is a disgrace. I witnessed two ambulances come to a standstill last week. Why was there not an emergency lane left there? Now, I know the four-lane is another issue, and it didn't really get discussed at the meeting, and maybe that's a conversation for another day, because there is a lengthy conversation to be had there too. I know you're hoping to get a meeting together.
There's no doubt about
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's going on the four lane?
Yeah.
You know, it is shocking.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And, I mean, myself, like, I wasn't, well, this was passed before I came under the council, and I wouldn't have been for it, to be quite honest, because the bridge over the Swilly is key, the Bunnagee Link is key. You know, with the 10T project, we need updates on all these here. We have the Southern Relief Road, we have Wendy Hall, we have the A5, you know. We need to get an update on where all these are at and get them moving forward.
So the bottom line of your motion was you want the council engineers, the Road Planning Office, the National Transport Authority, Transport Infrastructure Ireland, which would formerly have been the Roads Network or the National Roads Authority would have been its previous name. I mean, is that meeting going to happen? And will the right people come down from Dublin, the people that can make decisions? Because if the people that can make decisions aren't sitting around that table and aren't in the position to engage in dialogue, well, then the meeting's going to be for naught, really.
Yeah, well, listen, Donald, I'm going to do everything in my power to try and ensure that it happens.